ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Robson goes right to Cleary. Out the back, Edwards. Then he links up with Lomax. He'll score untouched. The Blues are absolutely giving it to the Maroons here at Lang Park. The second try to Lomax. The defence was nowhere.
When Zach Lomax dominated in Game 1 of Origin this year, some asked if he was the best winger in the entire NRL. Now the 26-year-old is not even in the league. He has been released 1 year into a hugely lucrative four-season deal with Parramatta. The assumption being made is that he's going to the Rebel Rugby competition, R360. So is this the clearest indication that the breakaway is very much real? Who could follow him out the door? What about the 10-year bans for players and managers? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Michael Carayannis is a senior NRL writer with the Daily Telly and an analyst for ABC Sports League coverage. MC, what details have you got for us about Zach Lomax leaving the Parramatta Eels?
Yeah, huge decision over the last 24, 48 hours. The fact that Zach Lomax has played his last game for Parramatta. He was just 19 games into a four-year deal at the Eels, but they've decided to part ways immediately. That draws the natural conclusion that Zach Lomax may be headed or potentially headed to this Rebel Rugby Union competition called R360, which is due to kick off at the end of next year. Zach Lomax approached the Eels for a release formally over the past couple of days. There's been informal discussions between the club and Zach Lomax over the, probably the last couple of months, but it's come to a head. He was supposed to be back at preseason training on Monday. So before he was due back, they made that decision to part ways.
As you say, the assumption is that he's going to R360. For those who don't know, can you give us the sort of short version of what that is?
Yeah, it's basically a Rebel Rugby Union competition, a startup rugby union competition that's going to bounce around from city to city. And, they're offering millions and millions of dollars to entice players in rugby league and rugby union to play in this new competition, essentially like, I'm not sure, the IPL is probably the best way, except it's competing directly against rugby union and rugby league.
Yeah, a Rebel Rugby comp. It's fronted by Mike Tindall, a former England international.
The fundamentals are we are still here for the betterment of rugby. I think, I know it's something I've got to be aware of. I love the Prem. I love Super Rugby. I still watch all of them. I watched Gloucester Hartbury play in the women's on the weekend. Rugby is still my love. And what we're trying to do with R360 isn't about breaking that. It's about trying to enhance it.
The way we've been sort of thinking about it is like live golf, but only make it rugby.
How
much money would he earn? Because as I understand through your reporting, he's on a hugely lucrative deal with the Eels, 700 grand a year, still 3 years to run on that, if I'm reading it correctly. How much are we talking about to make the jump?
Yeah, I think you'll find it'd be almost double that. And the thing with the R360 deal is that there's some potential tax loopholes depending on where you're based and where you're paid. And then the fact that agent fees are taken. So in rugby league, agent fees are taken out of a player's contract. So Zach Lomax's $700,000 contract, his fees are taken out of that. In R360, they're going to pay the agent's fees. So that's a nice little saving as well for any player that decides to join R360.
We've seen the ARLC and NRL say it will be 10-year bans for players and managers involved.
Ultimately, believe it or not, we're acting in the best interest of our players. Because if they blindly go into these competitions and lose all their money and their career, it's not the best thing for them either. Why risk all that for some fly-by-night competition that's come out of a McDonald's Happy Meal?
Just intrigued who manages Lomax and who else might be on their books that could be implicated or impacted as a consequence.
Yeah, so Zach Lomax is the same agent, the same management stable as Ryan Pappenhausen. Clinton Shikoski manages Ryan Pappenhausen and he's part of that stable, which has Zach Lomax. So, he works for the ABC and covers games, Clinton. So he's the guy that's potentially going to, the NRL have said, any agent or player, as you mentioned, the fact that they may face a 10-year ban. So that's agents and players. So I'll be interested to see what the NRL's response is once and if a player formally commits to R360.
Lomax and his departure, has it somewhat been clouded by the fact that we've seen him force his way out of a deal before when he was at the St George Illawarra Dragons and the undertone sort of being, this is a player who's kind of always looking for the next thing?
Yeah, well, it's two deals in 2 years that he hasn't seen through. He got an early release from his Dragons contract, was unhappy at the club and signed for Parramatta on less money than he was going to get at the Dragons. And now that stint at Parramatta has just lasted months. So, yeah, it is interesting. But Zach Lomax, 26 years of age, made his New South Wales and Australian debut last year.
Back on the inside to Cleary, plays Dodgen Brothers, got it to the right Edwards, then away to Crichton. Val Holmes, terrible in defence. Crichton gets it right to Lomax, and he dives in to score. Three Queenslanders left on the ground, and Val Holmes was stepped like he'd never played before. Brilliant attack from the Blues. Crichton Lomax.
He would have gone on the Ashes tour this year, but pulled out with injury, so he's one of the game's elite. So it's definitely a blow that the fact that he definitely won't be playing rugby league next year.
Yeah, arguably one of the best wingers in the sport and not the first to be linked. Ryan Pappenhausen, as you say, granted a release from the Melbourne Storm. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck has been mentioned in dispatches, and Payne Haas is the big, big concern. Mm. I mean, one of the finest players in the game. Are we at a point where the NRL as an industry and from an administrative level is starting to stress just a little?
You'd have to. You'd have to, right? Because at the very least, that Ryan Pappenhausen and Zach Lomax may not go to R360, right? But I think you'll find if R360 wasn't dangled in front of them, they'd still be rugby league players. So whether or not that's enticed them to look elsewhere and see what else is out there and explore the world, I guess, I'm not sure. But, you know, Zach Lomax would definitely be a Parramatta eel if R360 wasn't a thing.
Would you expect then that this is the start of a potential exodus? Is that what we're talking about?
I think so. I think we'll see some players, not a huge amount in the first year. And don't forget, some of these players, including Payne Haas, are wanting this money up front, right? So that becomes low risk and really a no-brainer for the players. If they get, you know, 2 or 3 year deal up front paid and the competition falls over, well, then it's no skin off their nose. So it's going to be interesting to see how many players commit in that first year. I'd say we'd have, you know, 4 or 5 maybe. And then if the competition does go well, that number will double the next year and the next year and the next year. And that's the concern for the game.
It's intriguing to us that obviously we're still at a point where there hasn't been a formal commitment. I'm just intrigued. Do you think we will see the NRL, Peter Vlandis, Andrew Abdo react in the next sort of 24 to 48 hours and move on this?
No, not until someone is formally unveiled in R360. I think that's when you'll get the NRL reacting, because at the moment there's nothing really to react to. It's an agreement between Lomax and Parramatta where they've mutually agreed to part ways. Well, you know, you can read into it what you will, but fundamentally, it's just a release from his contract, which happens a lot of times in a season.
We'll take the action once we have evidence that they've either executed a contract or have told their club that they're going to breach their contract or are moving to a competition that's not sanctioned.
At the moment, there's nothing to the NRL to react to.
When would we expect R360 to start unveiling players, you know, not necessarily from NRL, but just in general?
Yeah, it's been described to me the fact that there's an international window open of rugby union at the moment. I think it's another week. I don't know, my rugby union knowledge is not great, but maybe another week or two before that wraps up, and then there'll be some announcements.
Yeah, you know, our plan was always going to be October, November, December would be when things started coming out with a launch date, probably early next year, but so we're on our schedule, but obviously it's hard when people are filling space in between.
R360 is kind of fascinating in the lack of detail as well. I mean,
yeah.
when I've spoken to player managers and industry sources like Global Broadcasting Figures, they say to me, look, we feel like the money's real, but we don't really know where it's coming from. It's pretty, you know, murky. These players seem to be taking a pretty big leap of faith in many regards. Have you been able to nail down any further details?
No, they're lurking in the shadows at the moment, aren't they? And look, I've sort of approached covering this story from a rugby league perspective. What does it mean for rugby league? Like the machinations of R360 is sort of out of my parameters, right? But I've been looking at how it affects the game that I cover, which is rugby league, and then, you know, what that means for our game.
And what's interesting for me, I think, in some regards, is kind of the rugby union aspect. Because as we've sort of hit on, this is a rugby comp we're talking about. And yet, we're not reporting about current or former Wallabies or Super Rugby players who are being targeted. All the attraction, all the interest, all the names mentioned, they're in the NRL bucket. Why do you think that is?
I'm shocked, right? So this has probably been a theme and some frustrations for those in and around the NRL is the fact that we, as in like myself and my colleagues, are the only ones in the world, like seriously in the world, that seem to be covering this as thoroughly as anyone else. And I'm not sure if that's because we're so obsessed with player movement in the NRL that this is something we're attuned to and accustomed to, where other competitions may not be. I'm not sure. But even when R360 formally got off the ground, we broke that story of the Telegraph, right? A worldwide story that just failed to, you know, probably took 2 or 3 days for it to trickle into the European press, which is bizarre, right? So I don't know why other regions haven't carried or covered it as much as we have, but it's a potentially significant outcome for our game in Australia. So yeah, I can't talk on behalf of everyone else, but it's definitely something that's huge in Australia.
It speaks to a level of denial, and that's my final question to you today. I think globally there's been a level of like, this thing maybe isn't real. And I think to an extent we've seen that stance from key power brokers in the NRL here in Australia.
This is one. Who's to say that there's not another 5 or 6 that are going to try to exploit the game? These people with no investment whatsoever in any pathways or any participation want to just take and pirate our people. Well, we've got to take action.
Do you think that level of denial is evaporating?
Yeah, people have always asked me, well, is it going to get off the ground? My answer has been, I've got no clue, right? No idea. It's not, you know, but as I've said, I've looked at it from covering the NRL and what it could mean for the NRL. So the NRL took a while. Clubs have been calling for the NRL for months and months to come up with a decision and you know, some heavy-handed potential deterrence. And they did that a month or so ago now regarding the 10-year ban for players and agents. Well, now they've, you know, now we just got to wait to see when and if they'll act.
Michael Carayannis, there is no off-season in NRL.
Never.
Thanks for your time, mate.
Pleasure.
Headlines. If you are a cricket fan, you probably heard over the weekend that Australian quick Josh Hazlewood is out of the first Ashes test. Turns out that hamstring issue was a little more serious than first expected. Just when he will return is something of a mystery as of right now. Michael Neese has been drafted into the squad as cover. So first, no Pat Cummins, now no Josh Hazlewood. All of that leaves Brendan Doggett as the likely replacement, while Mitchell Starc and Scott Boland are becoming more important with every passing day. Boland has often been considered the most unlucky cricketer in the Australian scene, as he's frequently stuck behind Cummins, Hazlewood and Starc. So how's a Victorian feeling about being one of the go-to options in Perth when play starts Friday?
I always prepare the same way like I'm going to play, as like pretty much every fastball going around's always got something like a little niggle, so if something pops up the morning of the game or whatever, I want to be ready to go. So my prep will be the same, so I've bowled 2 days out from the game and then, yeah, prepare really well. We'll have all our meetings and stuff tonight and tomorrow morning, so be prepared for Friday.
For proper, deep analysis on the Ashes series, you really, really should check out ABC Cricket Podcast with Corbin Middlemass and Ed Cowan. Search for it on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes are dropping every Monday and Friday all summer, as well as after every day of play. We're going large for the Ashes. The Wallabies were a tough watch against Ireland early Sunday morning. The Irish thumped the Aussies 46-19. Maybe the most painful part was the reality. The best Aussie on the deck was playing for the home side. Mac Hansen scored 3 tries. Inside 30 minutes for Ireland, Joe Schmidt acknowledged as much.
Unfortunately, Mac was probably the standout Australian player on the field. Yeah, I think he's got a great skill set and he's such a good competitor.
The former Brumby was brilliant at fullback. Australia has now lost 5 on the bounce to Ireland. And this Wallabies team has copped 9 defeats in a year. Just the 4th time we've sunk that low. France is looking to take that number to 10 next week in the final international in 2025 for Australia. We're down to 4 in the race for the AFLW Premiership. The D's took care of the Crows and Carlton smashed Hawthorn, who are out in straight sets after a decent home and away campaign. Saturday sees unbeaten North Melbourne host Melbourne. Carlton travel to Brisbane. The winners go to the grand final. Finally, some awful news. Paralympic cycling gold medalist Paige Greco has died aged 28 after suffering a sudden medical episode at her home in Adelaide. Greco was born with cerebral palsy and went on to qualify for the Rio Games as a runner before winning gold in Tokyo on the bike. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Channel 9 and the Good, the Bad and the Rugby podcast for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.